Welcome to Feminist Mormon Housewives. I'm your host, Kira, and today I'm interviewing Lindsay Leach for our Now series, Narrating Ordained Women. Thanks for telling your story, Lindsay.
Thank you.
So let's just start by talking about just an introduction about who you are.
Okay. Well, my name is Lindsay. I grew up in Utah. My mother was a single mother, though, but she was the first Mormon in her family.
What age was she when she converted?
My grandmother moved to Pleasant Grove, Utah when my mother was 2, and their neighbors would bring my mom to church. So she kind of grew up in the church in a way with her neighbors. She was baptized at 9. She grew up in the church, just she was the first in her family.
Got it. So you said your mom was a single mom in Utah. What was that like?
Well, I was the youngest of 5, and my parents got divorced when my mom was pregnant with me. So my dad was never around. So for me, it was perfectly normal. I didn't really start to notice that my family was different until I probably got into junior high.
And how did that shape you in junior high and high school and your adulthood, or did it?
You know, I don't think it did. And I know that it shaped how I viewed Mormonism. I know that it shaped my view of the priesthood because I didn't grow up with a priesthood. And I had older brothers, but they were less active. So the priesthood was never something that was emphasized in my home. And honestly, the reason that I waited as long as I did to get a profile with ordained women was because the priesthood has not been something that has been a focal point in my life.
And can we talk about your life right now, what your living situation is at this time?
Yeah, I am married. I live in Norfolk, Virginia with my 2 kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. We just moved here about 6 or 7 months ago from a really small town in Western Virginia, Lynchburg, and it's the capital of Thomas Road Baptist Church, which is the Falwells. I don't know if you know who they are. A lot of the Mormons there felt like it was a hostile area for Mormons.
And how did that shape your ward then, feeling like maybe you're a persecuted minority?
There was definitely a lot of that feeling there. Everybody had stories about times they had been judged or treated differently or disrespected for what they believed. I think it just suffered from small town living. It was very small and
yeah,
I knew everybody's business. So
yeah, I came from a really small town in South Dakota. So
yeah,
I can relate to it on some level.
Yeah.
So you said you have 2 kids. How old are they?
5 and 3.
Okay. And how long have you been married?
8 years.
Okay. And what brought you to Virginia?
When I was 17, my mother passed away.
Oh, wow.
So I moved to Connecticut to live with my brother to finish high school.
Okay.
He moved from Connecticut to Virginia for a job, so I just went with him from Connecticut to Virginia. That's when I met my husband, and literally the day after our wedding, my family moved back to Connecticut. So the joke is they moved here to drop me off.
That's funny. So was your brother Mormon that you moved in with after your mom passed away?
Yes. Okay. I have 4 siblings, and only one of them isn't active. She's never really been active, but the other 3 are very active.
So your mom dying at such a young age, how did that shape you? I mean, it's got to be traumatic.
Very. Yeah, it was very traumatic. To be honest, she was sick for most of my life. So I actually rebelled and struggled with it more before she died. Once she died, when I moved in with my brother, I started going back to church. I had stopped going to church when I was about 13 or 14. But when I moved in with my brother, it's one of the few times when I look back on my activity in the church where I really, really felt a deep connection with the church for that time when I was living with him. So
you met and married your husband. Is your husband LDS?
Yes, and his mother was the first in her family to be Mormon as well. So we're both second generation Mormons. He went on a mission. He was a very good Mormon guy. And when we met, I told him that I didn't date Mormons. So we could only be friends. But he wore me down eventually. So.
Well, that's good, I guess, right?
Well, I'm happy. I'm glad he did.
Okay, so let's talk about what led you to post your profile on Ordained Women.
What actually happened is my best friend and I, we were in the same ward, and we started getting involved in gay rights activism in the church. We had gone to the New York Pride Parade a couple of years and marched with the church in the New York City Pride Parade. And as a lot of us have noticed, a lot of these groups, these activist groups within the church, kind of overlap. And so a lot of the people in the Mormons Building Bridges group were talking about ordained women. And so that's kind of how I found out about it.
Isn't that interesting? Because I got into ordained women first and gay rights second, because the two groups really do overlap. I don't think you'd find very many people in one that aren't at least supportive of the other.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had heard like little trickles about, or little stories about the first priesthood action. And I was like, you know, go girls. You know, I thought it was really awesome, but I didn't really look into it. It was the next action in April that happened that I really started looking into it. And I tried to get my profile out before conference, but I think it took them a few weeks. So I was out just a couple of weeks after conference.
What was the thing that made you say to yourself, I need to get this on this website?
Well, my friend put hers up first, and I kept telling myself that it wasn't something that I was all that concerned about. I supported people who felt like they needed it, but I didn't feel the need to fight for it. But she kept encouraging me to look into it and look at it. And like I had said, I didn't grow up with the priesthood being a very important part of, you know, my childhood. And I guess that's kind of when it hit me, was that it wasn't a big part of my childhood because my mom was a woman. And she couldn't have brought that kind of influence into the home by herself. And I guess that's partially what made me realize that I could have had that in my life if the priesthood had been opened up to women. And so I wanted the priesthood to be more important to me. And so I guess that's pretty much what pushed me into actually posting a profile.
So you post your profile, and it seems like it was a few weeks after conference, and then it was really only a few weeks after that Kate Kelly would have a disciplinary council. So how did you deal with that news and then the subsequent news of her excommunication?
Not very well. It was actually really, really hard, and I was kind of surprised about how hard it was. It was hard even just hearing that she was going to have the disciplinary council. Sorry, I'm going to cry. It felt like a lot of women have said, it felt like the church was doing that to all of us by yes. doing it to her. Also, like a lot of ladies that I've listened to, I've never really felt like I fit in as the, you know, kind of woman that I was supposed to be in the church. And so it was just kind of another hit, another notch of confirmation that the kind of person I was, am, is not welcome or wanted in the church.
I think Amy Isaacson Cartwright said it best when she said, she hasn't done anything that I haven't done. And so...
And I've done far worse. So, I mean...
Yeah, and so it really is. It's like excommunicating me. I remember that day when the news first came out that she would have a disciplinary action. And my husband came home from work, and we just... basically just sat in front of our computers for the rest of the day just in shock.
My best friend, who had posted before me, she came to visit, and we just laid in bed. Like, it was kind of hard to even just get up and do stuff. It was just, I felt very deflated.
Yeah, and it was almost like we sat together, but I don't even think we talked that much, because it was just, there was nothing to say.
It was just a shock, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. How do you feel this will impact ordained women, or do you think it will affect ordained women moving forward?
I don't think it's possible for it to not affect ordained women. I mean, I know for myself, I've talked to a lot of women who have left the church. My best friend left the church. I've stopped being as active in the church. So it has affected at least partially the morale of a lot of women and men in ordained women. But I still think that it's an important organization, and that the goals of the organization are righteous and need to be fought for.
So what is your vision moving forward with ordained women in the LDS Church?
Though it takes the church a very long time, they do eventually find justice for people. I don't know if justice is the right word, because it kind of feels like they get sometimes forced into making the right choice, but we will look back on ordained women and praise it one day. The full membership will, just for the bravery of the people that have been involved.
Thanks, Lindsay, for joining us. I appreciate it.